Hello. How is everybody doing? Welcome to the first ever edition of the Playmakers Blog Podcast Wrestling Edition. You may be wondering why me, Dallas, is hosting the wrestling edition and Darnell is hosting the football, basketball, and NFL edition. Well, I used to work for the National Wrestling Alliance. Yeah, I was a staff writer for the official website in the regime right before Billy Corgan took it over. And right now, I'm freelancing, but still covering an indie in Indiana named Supreme Wrestling. Please check them out. They're at Supreme Wrestling on Facebook. Maybe they're still at AWA Supreme Wrestling on Facebook. But either way, I covered them on Tumblr. I covered them when they were in the NWA on the old NWA website. So I have a pretty good relationship with the company, and because of that, me and Darnell and I, whichever grammar is better, we just figured that, maybe the wrestling podcast should be more my vibe, and maybe the quote unquote real sports podcast should be his vibe. So what you're about to hear is the first one. The first one ever. We don't know what we're doing. We're just two lads having fun and figuring it out. So please excuse any pops, any random tidbits or skips, because we're both just trying to make it work on this great app called Anchor FM. So, without further ado, please enjoy the first ever wrestling edition of the Playmakers Blog Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how are you doing? This is the wrestling half of the Playmakers Podcast. I'm your host, Dallas Glenn. I will be leading this half of the festivities with my host, who should be there, Darnell Solins. How are you doing, Darnell?
I'm good. I'm ready to get this started.
I'm sure you are. Let's start with the first show that always happens every week, Monday Night Raw. What did you think about the show?
Some interesting things happen. This whole Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns thing is they're trying to build it up, but I don't think it's actually working. They had Brock Lesnar pretty much F5 Kurt Angle, turn on Paul Heyman, and pretty much just don't give a damn about WWE or the WWE universe. He just don't care. He just want to be home and prepare for the UFC. I think it's rubbing people the wrong way.
Yeah, I think that they're truly trying to do, and this might sound like a bombshell to some people. I really think that they're trying to do everything in their power to get people to hate Brock Lesnar. But it's not really to put Brock Lesnar over as a heel, it's to get Roman Reigns over as the face. After 4 years of this chore, I don't really get it. Like other promotions, they build up somebody by having them win. They don't skyrocket them to the main event. If that was the case, if they were using the same booking that they use for Roman Reigns, for Ronda Rousey would be champion right now. Or at least she would have got cashed in on, so she could have it on her resume. It's just, they went to the point, Darnell, to where Brock actually said, "I don't watch the show. Why would I watch it? You're the Universal Champion, Brock. It's kind of, it's your show. If anything, it's yours." I mean, what? How do you feel about basically it? It's not so much for Brock Lesnar to be the bad guy, it's for Roman Reigns to be the good guy. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, this is my thing, because we really went from not seeing Brock Lesnar since what, the Greatest Warrior Rumble back in what, April?
About Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns?
Yeah. So pretty much after what, the Greatest Royal Rumble, Brock Lesnar what w went away. And that's kept the universal title not to be seen for like for months. Now you had Roman Reigns in a rivalry with Bobby Lashley at Extreme Rules, but nothing was on the line, and Bobby Lashley won. but you want to turn around on a Monday night on a Monday Night Raw and have them two go at it again to see who will face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam after you force Brock Lesnar to defend it at SummerSlam, and then Roman Reigns wins. When people was thinking, okay, this could be Bobby Lashley's time, but you gave it back to Roman Reigns. Now, even though I'm a Roman Reigns fan, I always felt that he should have been the title. He should have had that Universal title at the Greatest Royal Rumble when he beat Brock Lesnar in the steel cage match. But that's no the here or there.
But no, it kind of is. It kind of is because, how much time have they wasted? I mean, the last pay-per-view, they had the Intercontinental Championship go over the WWE Championship. We know that Roman is supposed to be the top guy, but, a world championship was defended on that pay-per-view and it wasn't defended last. I have my opinions about how much relevance the Intercontinental Championship should have, but they're basically not burying the WWE Championship, but they're not putting it over for the sake of preserving Roman's spot when he wins the Universal Championship. It's tough, man, because I think that for somebody who might have the viewpoint of it's neither here nor there, I think that's somebody kind of sort of just getting used to what we've been given.
I mean,
I
that's my
mean,
thing because your Universal Championship match is a match that we have seen multiple times. And then your SmackDown main event for SummerSlam is AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, which is very intriguing. Because people remember this rivalry from the TNA days. And now they bring it to SummerSlam.
Yeah,
So already, people are already looking at the SmackDown main event as the main event of SummerSlam.
and yet it's not going to go on last.
So you know, it gets me with Raw. Like, you're supposed to be the better brand. You're supposed to be the top brand. But yet, SmackDown is making the better match card for SummerSlam.
If you tell me you can either have AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship, and AJ Styles just defended the championship six times against the same person after already defending it for about a year, you're basically telling me, wow, I might see Samoa Joe get his first WWE Championship against Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, where he got squashed at WrestleMania, got squashed for WrestleMania before Seth cashed in, and he technically won, but because that wasn't supposed to be the end of the match, they just basically made an excuse. I would rather AJ beat Shinsuke six times than have you push Roman, have him get squashed, then have him win, but he wasn't supposed to win. I don't care if the same result happens. Just have that be the same result. Because what happens is, wait a minute, so you mean I have to sit through more of this, but it could have been over?
I don't know what to tell you. This is what is going on. So, you know, we going to a big pay-per-view, and it's like every time we go to a big pay-per-view, they keep having Brock Lesnar in it to try to get money because people want to see Brock Lesnar and stuff like that. But I think it's getting to a point now, like the fans don't care about Brock Lesnar right now. Like they know they're getting better product from the Little Brother show in SmackDown. And then the only thing Raw has over SmackDown is they have Ronda Rousey. And everybody's intrigued about Ronda Rousey and how she's has stepped into the WWE and she's getting a push at the title. So now you looking at the women's division is coming up on both sides, but the Raw gets the edge because they have Ronda Rousey. Then the tag team division goes to SmackDown because you legitimately have teams that are fighting to get to the championship against a team that is destructive. And then on the Raw side, you have teams that's like, okay, what are we doing here? Until now, the Revival has come into the picture.
The thing with the SmackDown tag division is you have four tag teams. Three of them world class. Three of them Hall of Fame worthy are actually going into a tournament to compete for the chance to face one of the most destructive tag teams in recent memory. You're facing a tag team that nobody should want to face. But because that championship is so important, you're willing to go through a grueling tournament just to get a chance. Yet on the Raw side, it's a bunch of makeshift teams and teams that keep getting off TV. Now, to be fair about the Revival, they kept getting hurt. If one wasn't hurt, the other was hurt. But you have the Revival, the Ascension, and the Authors of Pain, who are actual tag teams and not makeshift tag teams that you could have been using. If you're just going to use the B team and have them be the lovable underdog champion, you already had three real tag teams you could do that with. It's like you want Raw to be the better show, but you don't use the resources you have unless it's to get Roman Reigns over. Even Seth Rollins to a point.
That's another thing. Seth Rollins still fighting for the Intercontinental title. Like Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins, two of the top people on Raw. Are we being realistic? This fight for the what's supposed to be the second best title on the show, but it's actually the best title because the Universal title has been up at a farm chilling with Brock Lesnar half the damn time. So you have that going on, but on the SmackDown side, we don't know what's going on with the US title. That's the only question on SmackDown side. What's going on with the US title? You have Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura, and where Jeff Hardy called out Randy Orton. Randy Orton came out there, but Shinsuke came up from behind and attacked Jeff Hardy. He got ready to do his finishing move. Randy Orton stepped in front of him. They had this quite a big stare down, and then Randy Orton tells him to go ahead and do it, and he does the Kinshasa to Jeff Hardy, and then they stare down again as Shinsuke gets out the ring, and then Randy Orton decides to viciously destroy Jeff Hardy, and then humiliate him by wiping the paint off his face. So it's like, what are we doing with the U.S. title as SummerSlam's approaching?
You know, even though there's a lot of confusion, I like what they're doing with the US title. Because you have three guys who are main event caliber somehow fighting over this thing. Jeff Hardy put over the title a lot. He even went as far as saying that it's an extension of himself and it connects him more with the WWE universe. Shinsuke, just coming off of a WWE championship feud where he had like six matches, squashed Jeff Hardy and basically proved like he's up there. Now with Randy Orton and Shinsuke, you don't know if they're together or if they're not together. You basically have like this triangle around a mid-card championship that involves three main eventers. It's confusing right now, but as it develops, I think people will realize, like, wow, they're really putting importance around this championship.
I mean, do I dare ask, are we going to see a transformation of Jeff Hardy?
I think that's where we're going. I think that Randy Orton wiping the paint off was symbolic. I think it's time for a new era with Jeff Hardy.
Because his brother Matt already transformed.
You know, Jeff Hardy's gone through a lot of transformations in his career. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, what else could he really do? How much more different can he really become?
Then, let's when we talk about what happened this past week, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, this is, I don't know what to make of it, because pretty much what I think they did was give people a taste of what could happen at SummerSlam to Braun Strowman, which is him getting counted out and losing the briefcase to Kevin Owens.
I saw that segment, and the weird thing is, when Kevin Owens was Universal Champion, yeah, he was kind of sort of like the coward heel champion, but man, it's weird to see somebody who has the potential to win the Money in the Bank briefcase and win the Universal Championship. It's weird to see a contender just be that scared of somebody that he's going to have to defend a championship against.
It intrigues me, and it intrigues me. And are we to believe that Kevin Owens is actually going to beat Braun Strowman and take the Money in the Bank contract?
I'll tell you one thing, it would throw a monkey wrench into everything if it did happen. It would basically prove every rumor site wrong.
It's because, you know, it's like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman. You can pick one of them to beat Brock Lesnar. That way the title is on Raw.
You know what's interesting? Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman. I believe that they can beat Brock Lesnar if Brock Lesnar's having a bad day. I don't know if I believe Kevin Owens can beat Brock Lesnar. Maybe that's why he should win the briefcase. Braun can beat Roman any day of the week. I don't think anybody has a problem with Braun beating Roman. But can Kevin beat Roman? Isn't that what the Money in the Bank briefcase is supposed to be for? It's supposed to be for the person where they could win one day, but not unless they had like a lot of help. Carmella, for instance.
That's an interesting one, too.
I mean,
because on Raw side, we had Ronda Rousey get a title shot against Alexa Bliss to a SummerSlam, as long as she finishes her suspension. Which, won't you tell the masses how you feel about that? Because we talked about it so much.
That gimmick was weird, because while she was serving her suspension, she was supposed to have bought a ticket as a fan, but jumped the barricade and got involved in a match, which involved the heel to retain. That match was already weird because Alexa was getting her stuff in on Nia, but it's odd because if that's the case, then what really Ronda didn't end up helping. What I really didn't end up liking was Natalya took like one bump. It was down the whole time. Ronda Rousey flung Mickey James around the ring and she got right back up to help. Like, Mickey James is supposed to be the one on her tail end of her career. Natalya is supposed to still have a lot of miles in the tank. How is one bump from Mickey James or Alexa Bliss going to take you out for the rest of the match and basically leave Nia on her own? Because Ronda wasn't helping Nia. She was helping Natalya. It doesn't make sense to me. Because instead of increasing her punishment after getting involved in a championship match that's supposed to go down in the record books and all that, you give her what she wants if she can finish the rest of her punishment, which is not going to be extended or increased, even though she clearly violated the suspension as a fan. It's one of those things where you have to talk in circles just so you can understand it before you even talk to somebody else about it. What were your thoughts?
I mean, my thing is, when we get to the Extreme Pay-Per-View, we've seen what was going to happen. So you telling us that you're going to have these two in a Extreme Rules match where Nia Jax can probably use anything she wants to against Alexa Bliss. You got Natalya out there, Mickey James out there, but Ronda Rousey sitting in the front row. So we already know she's going to get involved at some point in time. But somehow, some way, Bliss is going to retain the title. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So you get to the next night on Raw, Rousey shows up on Raw. She breaks a suspension. But instead of Kurt added one more week to it, but he said if you do this week, you will get a title shot. So that's basically what happened. So now we fast forward to Monday night. Mickey's not at Raw. Rousey is in Natalya's corner. And Alexa Bliss is in the corner of Alicia Fox.
Like, where did that come from and how did that happen?
And then all of a sudden, Alicia Fox beats Natalya. And then basically beats up Ronda Rousey, too.
Which, you know, you understand because Ronda, for everybody out there who doesn't get why Alicia Fox beat up Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey's a good guy right now. The way that good guys function in wrestling, they do things the right way. Ronda Rousey got attacked from behind. You know, Ronda Rousey could just attack people from behind. You know, she would be beating up everybody left, right, side to side. But, you know, Alicia Fox sucker punched her. And then also sucker threw her into the barricade. And sucker threw her into another barricade. And sucker kicked her in the face. But the point of the matter is, like, you know, Alicia Fox, she's a heel. She has to win and beat people up to do what she has to do. So now that Alicia Fox is going to be facing Ronda Rousey in her hometown of Jacksonville, Florida, she has to walk into that match with a certain level of confidence and bravado. She has to basically show the people of Jacksonville and show herself that, you know, if I catch Ronda slipping, she's mine.
And yes, for people out there that stays in Jacksonville, Monday Night Raw will be in Jacksonville this coming Monday. I will be in attendance.
You sound so happy.
It's good. I think it's great for the city. Like, when was the last time Monday Night Raw came to Jacksonville?
Actually, I think SmackDown came to Jacksonville last year.
SmackDown came, but when was the last time Monday Night Raw? When was the last time the top brand of WWE came to Jacksonville?
It was back when Raw had that weird, like, metal-looking title card. Like a carbon steel plate or something. It was a while ago. I think Snoop Dogg came.
So you saying on the road to SummerSlam, the biggest part of the summer, Raw gets to come through Jacksonville.
Yes, it does. But to be honest, in this particular stretch, are you sure you want Raw over SmackDown?
I prefer SmackDown, but hey, it's Monday Night Raw. It's good for the city. It's good for publicity. So you're like, hey, Monday Night Raw in Jacksonville.
Man.
And we all know when Raw comes to your city, it kind of opens up doors for other things to happen, you know?
Yeah, you know, the last pay-per-view Jacksonville had was One Night Stand in like 2008. But, you know, hopefully people are as excited as you. Because if you guys buy tickets in Jax, if you guys buy the tickets and show that WWE can make money in Jacksonville, they'll bring bigger shows to Jacksonville.
And, you know, let's go ahead and speak on it. Ronda Rousey's first ever Raw match will be here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so Ronda Rousey's first ever televised WWE match, free TV, is going to be in Jacksonville against somebody from Jacksonville. Like, you can't get – the show itself is going to be the show itself. But the women's division is definitely going to give Jacksonville its money's worth. The women's division alone that night is going to give Jacksonville what they came for. Now, I can't speak on the main event division. To be honest, I can't even speak about the Intercontinental Championship. But, dude, the women's division is going to come to show out. I think Alicia Fox is, if she doesn't win, she'll definitely give one of the best showings of her career. It's a pretty big deal, man. Like, you know, like I said, the fact that Brock Lesnar was on Raw this week, I don't expect him to be on Raw next week. So you're talking this Ronda Rousey's first TV match, you never know. It could go on last. That could be the main event.
And if you know, you want something else to look forward to, you got Mojo Rawley and Bobby Roode going at it next week.
And you ruined it.
I mean, these two been going at each other for a couple of weeks now. Mojo Rawley's been stacking up wins, and I mean, Bobby Roode is glorious, so.
If that match didn't go on first, I'd be very surprised. Like, I'd be legitimately surprised if that match doesn't open the show.
I mean, does it open the show, or does Roman Reigns open the show?
He'll open the show with talking to the crowd and probably getting booed, but as far as first match, oh, it has to be that. That's got to be first match.
And you don't know what Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler gonna bring to the show next week.
Oh, now see that now you're talking. You talk about Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, Alicia Fox, Ronda Rousey. You know,
you got to add Drew McIntyre to the.
Exactly, you know Drew McIntyre. He's picking up right where he left off. He's gonna go all the places that Vince McMahon thought he should have went the first go around. The guy has it. They're just trying to make him credible. They're basically letting him be Dolph Ziggler's Diesel. So, you know, Raw has the resources to put on a good show every week. The frustrating thing is they just don't.
You know what I mean? Right now, SummerSlam is rolling through the state of Florida. So if you're in the state of Florida, it's a good time to watch wrestling. They were just in Miami for Monday night. They were just in Tampa for SmackDown. Raw's in Jacksonville, and then SmackDown's in Orlando. AJ Styles makes his return in Orlando next week to respond to what Samoa Joe said.
And for people who don't understand his return to Orlando, you know, the podcast won't touch on other things often, but let's just say AJ Styles used to spend a lot of time at Universal Studios. I mean, Orlando might be his second home at this point.
And then you're going to have the Queen in Orlando, who recently just defeated Carmella and now is into the championship match, which is now a triple threat match. Between Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair.
You know, I kind of have mixed feelings about that. Because you're at this weird spot where If Carmella wins this match, she defeats Asuka, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch for the championship within the first, when did she cash in? Within the first 4 months of her reign. Within the first 4 months of her reign, she's going to beat Charlotte, Becky, and Asuka. On the other hand, if Charlotte wins, you give it to somebody who doesn't really need it, who probably will do good with it, who, you know, is going to go down as one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time.
And by the way, who just came back.
Yeah, that's kind of, it's Becky Lynch, her contendership coming out of nowhere. You know, I don't know for sure the motivations behind that. I'll leave that to the wrestlers who actually know what goes on backstage. But all I know is that,
I mean, you have to realize in October, you're going to have the first ever women's pay-per-view. So the question is, who do you want as your women's champions? Alexa Bliss and Carmella, or some other people who you know can bring the ratings and bring the style?
Well, you know, I mean, hey, if you look at it in another light, your champion has to be the best. If we were just going around picking the most popular people to do stuff, then boxing and UFC would be dead. Like, dead. At the end of the day, styles make fights. Greatness brings in buyers. That's the weird thing, because it's like, it's weird to me if Carmella can beat Asuka, Becky, and Charlotte in such a short time. Because it makes you wonder, A, where did all this come from? Why couldn't you do this before? And B, what does this say about Charlotte and Asuka? Because Charlotte and Asuka have both lost in the middle of the ring by pinfall to Carmella. Say what you will about how it happened, but they have both lost by pinfall to Carmella. I did.
Now, let me tell y'all something about my co-host here. He is not thrilled of how they have used Asuka and Shinsuke. I'm gonna let him elaborate on it. But he has not been thrilled of how they've been using Asuka and Shinsuke.
I'll just open up my statement with a question. What does the Royal Rumble mean anymore? Like, you had 3 Royal Rumbles in 1 year. One of the Royal Rumbles had a championship title that we haven't seen since. One Royal Rumble was the first Royal Rumble ever. And after the Royal Rumble winner wins that match, Ronda Rousey makes her debut. Never had a match. Never even competed. Damn sure didn't compete in the Royal Rumble match itself. But she gets in the ring, stares down the 2 champions and the Royal Rumble winner, and points to the WrestleMania sign. What upsets me even more, hindsight being 2020, she points to the WrestleMania sign and is not even in a women's championship match. She's in a mixed tag team match. So forget the fact that you spoiled the first ever women's Royal Rumble winner's moment. You have her lose by submission. She loses by submission at WrestleMania. It's two good guys going at it for the greatness of the sport, for the love of the sport. Asuka wins the first ever Women's Royal Rumble and loses to Charlotte by submission when she's one of the best submission wrestlers on the roster. Then, I can understand losing to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. She's Ric Flair's daughter. It's the biggest stage ever. Look, man, you know, greatness is greatness. You won't beat the Patriots in New England at the AFC Championship game unless you come to play. There's no shame in losing to certain people at certain events. But then she can't get it done against Asuka. That befuddles me. How?
You mean Carmella?
How can she not beat Carmella, but she just had a WrestleMania Classic against Charlotte? The way that she fought Charlotte to the very end should have shown that she could beat just about anybody else with ease. And then you have Shinsuke. Darnell, how do you win the Royal Rumble, then have 6 WWE Championship matches, and you don't win any of them? You have 6 WWE Championship matches. You win the Royal Rumble. You don't win any of them.
And then they relegate you to win the United States title.
Against a guy who, yeah, he's had great success on his own, but do we really think Jeff Hardy is a better singles wrestler than a tag team wrestler? Are we really going to say Jeff Hardy is better than the Hardy Boys?
I'm going to say he's better than Matt.
But is he better than the Hardy Boys as a unit? Is Jeff Hardy alone better than the Hardy Boys as a tag team?
So.
Titles that he won, is Jeff Hardy alone? If Jeff Hardy was alone his entire career, would he be where he's at now?
That's a good question.
And I feel like that's why Shinsuke had to win in such dominant fashion. A low blow and a super knee to the face. I mean, you know, it used to be a lariat and a big boot, but I guess it's different now. It's just one of those things where I feel like they try to be different and innovative and think outside the box everywhere else but Raw's main event picture. And when you can't think out the box for your main event picture, your mid-card picture suffers. So SmackDown having Shinsuke win the United States Championship and be just a sleazy, slimy, snaky heel, and Samoa Joe finally tried to claim the prize that should have always been his. It just makes you wonder, man. You look at SmackDown, you look at NXT, look at 205 Live. You have all these champions and championships being defeated. You have people like Tommaso Ciampa just being downright horrible, but getting it done and rubbing it in everybody's face. You have Cedric Alexander trying desperately to challenge somebody for a title, and now he has Drew Gulak, but he had to push to challenge for somebody. It's basically the cruiserweight champion is the exact opposite of the universal heavyweight champion. It's like you're doing all these innovative and unique things, except for the place that's supposed to be the flagship brand.
You know what? Let me cut you off right there, because when you talk about the cruiserweight, they did the contract signing, and Drew Gulak called Cedric Alexander the Brock Lesnar of the cruiserweights. Let that sink in and think about what he meant by that.
It's ironic, and it kind of makes me chuckle, because Brock Lesnar said that he doesn't even watch the show. But Cedric Alexander, for like the past month and a half, has been bothering Drake Maverick and pestering Drake Maverick to defend his championship and find somebody for him to defend his championship against. Obviously, Drew Gulak didn't mean it in a positive way. But man, that is just humorous to me that that would even be brought up. I think it's like delightful irony. It's almost as if it's a shot to Brock Lesnar himself. Like, hey, you know, this championship doesn't even really mean anything to anybody, but dang, everybody wants to defend their championship except for you. I think even Pete Dunne wants to defend his championship more than Brock Lesnar does.
You know, it is interesting, because I heard, I was like, wow, that's an insult.
Oh, it's definitely an insult, but to whom?
Well, it's like when that's an insult. Like when you have Brock Lesnar, you don't insult Brock Lesnar.
And that's the weird point we've gotten to.
But it now, that's like the norm.
Yeah, it's like you're taking shots everywhere. It's just shot after shot after shot. It just makes you wonder.
From different people, from different shows, with different titles.
Yeah. Tommaso Ciampa, after he won the championships at the NXT, is the A show now. That was a shot. Top champion of a different show is saying that he's the A show now. I mean, you know, where's the other champion to back it up and say he's not? Where's Brock Lesnar to prove Tommaso Ciampa wrong?
I don't know about that. I think AJ Styles is the top champion of the company. That's just my opinion.
He is. He is. But AJ Styles is actually there to say, I'm the top guy. We all know that when people say, I'm the A show champion, they're not talking about AJ Styles. They're not putting any slant on AJ Styles' name. We know who they're talking about when they say stuff like that.
It's coming together. But another thing I want to get into that I'm already booking it for SummerSlam, and I believe it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz and Daniel Bryan are going to have this face punching extravaganza at SummerSlam. I believe it's coming.
You know, I think that I honestly don't know if WWE ever thought they would have the opportunity to capitalize on this rivalry and the promos associated with this rivalry in an in-ring format.
We talking 2 years worth.
Oh, this is years in the making. I don't know if 4 years ago you told somebody that the Miz versus Daniel Bryan would be a hot match. Maybe a dream match, but definitely a hot match. People probably would have laughed you out the building. Now, fast forward, the Miz versus Daniel Bryan might be one of the best non-title feuds we've seen in a while. I only wish that the Intercontinental Championship could be around the Miz's waist for this match, because it might make it that much better. I mean, I can't be any more high on this rivalry than I am right now. This is the type of non-championship feud that should be going on. Lesnar Lashley, that's the example of like what not to do. Reigns Joe, when they main evented Backlash, that is the quintessential example of what not to do in a non-championship feud. But Brian Miz, oh man, that match is going to be good.
I mean,
that match is going to be awesome.
The Miz, last week, not talking what happened on Tuesday, I'm talking last week. The Miz had a fake baby doll to get over on Daniel Bryan. You know how I feel about the Miz, but I said that was brilliant. That was truly brilliant on his part.
Say what you will, but the Miz, he is just so good at being evil. It's like, you know, he's one of those people where I don't think you ever want him to come back from the dark side. It just isn't as fun. From start to finish, he had the poor baby, and then by the time it's beautiful.
Now I'm gonna take you to last Tuesday though, because Daniel Bryan threw some shots at the Miz. Talking about how the Miz was trying to be this Hollywood turn A star Hollywood star, and he told him. He would never be The Rock. But that wasn't even the best part. He said he could never be John Cena.
Oh, those are fighting words. Those are fighting words.
You know, The Miz, he might like, you know, you might be right. I can't beat The Rock. You know, yeah, The Rock's like the highest paid actor.
Like, period, out of everybody.
But he threw John Cena in there.
Those are fighting words. I'm sorry. I'm trying to catch hands with that.
So what does The Miz do? The Miz turn around because, you know, The Miz was on set at his next showing for The Miz and Mrs. And he called Daniel Bryan whiny. That's why I say this match is coming.
Oh, it was coming. It's coming with the quickness. I know that the SummerSlam festivities, they're very long. But I really don't. I know the Cruiserweight Championship is going to be on the kickoff show. But man, I don't know if Bryan and Miz is a kickoff show match. It might be the first match on the main show, but it ain't no kickoff show match.
So then it leaves me with tag team, the SmackDown tag titles. The Bar defeated.
We talked about that situation. This we before we go, we have to get to the unfortunate Raw tag team championship situation.
We don't know what's going on with the tag team champions on Raw. All day we know, you got the B team as a champion, you got the Deleters of World, and you got the Revival, which the Revival beat the Deleters of World on Monday night. But we don't know what's going on. We don't. At least on the SmackDown side, we know what's going on. We have a tag team tournament. The week before, New Day beat Sanity to advance. This past Tuesday, The Bar beat the Usos, which leads to next Tuesday down in Orlando. The New Day versus The Bar winner goes to SummerSlam. On one side, there's no direction. On the other side, there's clear-cut direction.
I hate it because I feel like anytime we talk about Raw, there's nothing good to say. I feel like we're in this weird era of wrestling fandom and wrestling podcasts and wrestling journalism where everybody wants to bag on WWE but never really talk about the positive stuff. But there's not really much to talk about that's positive unless you compare it to what's not positive. It's like you can't really talk about SmackDown and how good SmackDown is without realizing that it'll never be held at a higher regard than Raw. It's so frustrating. Even with the tag team championship situation, it's like, dang, Raw ain't having no tournament. Raw, you don't even know if Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt even deserve a rematch at this point. Why haven't they had the rematch yet? Why hasn't the rematch been announced yet? Like, then you have the Revival, and you have the Ascension, and you have Authors of Pain. You have Heath Slater and Rhino, who are the first ever SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Man, you got Authors of Pain in a storyline with Titus Worldwide. Now, granted, Apollo upset Anchor on Raw.
And that's the problem. That's an issue. That is an issue. The Office of Pain came in ready to go. Why keep them off TV, then have them in a feud with Titus Worldwide and have somebody lose to Apollo in singles competition? What has Apollo done as an individual wrestler to make it seem like he should be that much better than one of the most dominant tag team wrestlers in NXT history? What makes him that much better as an individual?
You know me. I'm a blue brand. I love SmackDown. I love SmackDown Live. That's why I'm sitting here like I enjoy SmackDown shows. And this tag team tournament is great for the show. You have New Day and The Bar. Winner places the Bludgeon Brothers at SummerSlam. Like you said earlier, you have Hall of Fame tag teams battling to face a destructive team for the titles.
And what makes it even weirder is SmackDown's going to go to Fox soon. SmackDown's about to be on broadcast TV live on Friday nights. So you're going to be a live television show on Friday nights in the United States. They know that that product has to be good, but why is that what motivates you to finally start kicking out a good product on TV? You've been kicking out a good product with NXT. 205 Live has gotten a lot better. Why must you be motivated by, oh, well, we're about to be on Fox? Well, you've been on a USA. USA is affiliated with NBC. Don't you imagine that if ratings were through the roof, they would have moved you to the main channel? It's odd, man, because, you know, Cleveland, Chicago, or Cleveland, Tampa, or who else? Arizona, Buffalo, or Arizona, New York Jets. Are those games that are truly must-see, the world is going to tune in and watch? No. But they're on broadcast TV. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, you are what you are. You don't leave the girl that brought you to the dance. If you know you could have been doing better, though, why do you wait till now? What is that supposed to tell the fans? Oh, well, SmackDown's gotten like way better. SmackDown, wow. SmackDown's moving to Fox. Oh. Well, NXT is good. 205 Live is good, and they're on the network. They're in-house. Triple H runs those. Oh. Well, then what's going on Monday Night Raw? And all you can do is just shrug your shoulders. People have to pay for a cable package or pay for USA individually as a streaming service to watch Monday Night Raw unless they want to buy Hulu, which either way, they have to pay for a streaming service. They have to pay for a service other than the WWE Network to watch Monday Night Raw. And you're consistently putting out a 3-hour product that nobody wants to sit through.
And you always use, like, the people need to know how much you can't stand that third hour.
When they did the brand extension and they said that the cruiserweights were going to be on Raw, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Whether it's the first hour or the second hour, they have a whole nother roster to pull from. They pulled the cruiserweights off Raw. They have these matches like Akam versus Apollo. They have these segments like the Bayley and Sasha segments that are about to go absolutely nowhere when it could have led to one of them turning heel on the other. Even that odd moment where Sasha said that I love you and left. Didn't do anything with that. It's just the third hour is just for advertisers. The third hour is for money, and they're not going to pull it because they're a publicly traded company. And they need to have sources of revenue that keeps investor confidence. So the third hour is never going to leave, but creative doesn't know what to do with the third hour. And I'm worried because when it comes to Jacksonville, you might get a rude awakening because I think they still do Superstars. And I think Superstars is filmed before Raw. So if Superstars is still on and still active, you're probably going to have to sit through that. Just like the SmackDown audience has to sit through 205 Live after. Well, not has to, because technically it's all 3 hours in total. But whether they still do Superstars or not, it's one thing when you're watching on TV and you have the commentary booth and you can get up and you can take a break. And it's another thing when you're in the stadium and there's no announced team. You're just watching the match. And then you actually see, like, side by side, like, oh, wow. This is Pensacola. We only get house shows. I'm sorry, live events. We only get live events. But dude, I'm telling you, the live events, it's not so much that they don't care. It's just that it's not TV. It's a show. So when the dudes come out, they have fun. Yeah, it's the WWE style and formula, but it's fun. It's a show. It's entertainment. It's a live event. It's not something that they have to keep up. It's not something that they have to slog through. TV, they got to get through it. TV, they got to keep things going. TV, they got to develop things, introduce things. Live events, you're going to see wrestling. You're going to see wrestlers wrestle. You're going to see championships being defended. It's the third hour is tough, man. It's just, I feel that it's the frustration of knowing that it's not going to change because it doesn't have to change. SmackDown, you can see that they had to change it. They had to make it better because they're about to compete in a time slot where not only do they have to convert new viewers, but they have to keep the same viewers. Because it's one thing if you're on a Tuesday night just getting home from work and you got work the next morning. It's another one is Friday night and it comes on at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. And you're like, oh man, that's dinner time. I got to go out in 30 minutes. I ain't trying to stay and watch SmackDown. I'll just tape it. Or I'll just go on YouTube. Or I'll just keep up with it on Twitter. I despise the third hour.
You really do.
I don't like it.
You really do despise that third hour.
It's terrible. It's horrendous. And I will leave it on that sour note because truth be told, and it's too far out from SummerSlam. And yeah, it's Brock Lesnar was on Raw this week. So realistically, looking forward to next week, I don't even know what we'll have to talk about when it comes to Raw. Because we just had Brock Lesnar. When was the last time Brock Lesnar ever came 2 weeks in a row? It was way, way back when there was two belts to represent the WWE World Championship. I think that was the last time we saw Brock on a somewhat regular basis. That was a long time ago. So what are you looking forward to this week, Darnell, before we go?
I'm looking forward to Monday. I'm looking forward to being in the Veterans Memorial Arena. I'm ready to see Raw. I'm ready to see Rousey in her first ever Raw's match against her hometown former Divas champion and Alicia Fox. I'm looking forward to see what this rivalry goes between Bobby Roode and Mojo Rawley. Now that they've been going verbally with words exchanged for a couple of weeks, now it's time to sell it in the ring, as Kurt Angle would like to say. And then I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen in Orlando. AJ Styles returns. He will respond to the harsh, and I mean harsh, words from Samoa Joe. If you did not watch SmackDown this past Tuesday, go on YouTube and listen to what Samoa Joe said about AJ Styles.
Yeah, apparently AJ is a better champion than he is a family man.
And just listen to his words and just be anticipated what AJ Styles is going to respond. How will the best friends go from here when knowing they both have a title shot at SummerSlam? It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. So. All that and more, I guess. So, any parting words you want to give the fans, Darnell?
The podcast is here. Two shows in. Join us next week on Thursday. We got some more college football, NFL stuff to get into. You don't want to miss it.
This is all true. We love you and we don't even know you. Till next week, guys.